What's up, Eddie? Coming in, buddy.
How you doing?
Good, good. What's up, loved ones? This is Neighborhood Love Radio. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. I'll be your selector and host this evening. Come on in, sit down. Tonight I got Eddie Solis. What's going on, my man?
How are you, man? Thanks for having me.
Right the last second, jumping in, then it's great. Eddie, if loved ones, if you don't know, Eddie is, he's a musician, entrepreneur, record company exec, I guess. Talk show host right here at Skid Row Studios. He hosts Los Angeles Nista, a bunch of other stuff.
64 episodes deep.
Yeah. Apparently the only thing he could do, or not do rather, is sit down very long in one place. So we're going to chop it up a little bit, but first I got some tunes for you. This is Alice Russell featuring her Skeletons, Adam and Eve. Enjoy, loved ones.
Let alone exploring. any more guidance for me. But when I got there, all he did was give a knowing glare, and I knew what I had to do.
Featuring Malik Moore. They're playing September 14th at the Funky Soul Club at the Echo. And hey, next up, you got Stevie Wonder, Jesus Children. Please enjoy.
Jesus loves you. Oh, there was five.
Jesus Children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story back. And if you like it, I'm
Children from the Inner Visions album, 1973. That album's really incredible. I mean, it's like, he's got songs on there addressing like drugs, ethics. He's even got a song in there about fair housing. And then that one, Jesus Children, about, really, I mean, it sounds like Western, you know, spirituality, but he touches on some reincarnation stuff of Eastern thought. Anyway, the great Stevie Wonder. Prior to that, we heard The Lions, Los Angeles' own The Lions, featuring Malik Moore. Like I mentioned earlier, they're playing September 14th at the Funky Soul Club at the Echo. That should be a really fun show because it's kind of a little ground level, intimate environment. Started off the set with Adam and Eve was the name of the tune, featuring Alice Russell, The Skeletons as the band, from a really great Essential True Thoughts label compilations, True Thoughts Records, you know, that's Quantic's label. And they put out a few different collections, and that's one of them called Shapes 1201, and that's one of the featured songs on there, Adam and Eve by The Skeletons featuring Alice Russell. They're from Ohio. Eddie, man, what's going on, dude?
How are you, man?
Good, good. I'm glad you made it in.
It's a beautiful sunny night in Los Angeles. I'm excited about
that.
It is. And thank you for the water and jelly beans. Perfect for talk radio, though, because keep the mouth moist and...
For sure. Yeah, well, and plus I'm a smoker, you know, so I need something to kind of handle that hand-to-mouth thing. loved ones, if you don't already know, Eddie is he's a bit of a renaissance man. He's a musician. He does a talk show here at Skid Row Studios called Los Angeles Nista. One of the highest rated talk shows here. He's a show promoter, a big public transportation advocate, and taking his years and years of experience working at record labels, and he's got his own little number going on the taking off pretty soon called Stoked. Is it Stoked Records?
Stoked Records.
Okay. And what do you got so far? I know this is just like just off of the ground. What are you working on?
In the last 4 months, you know, I just came off my decade-long tenure working at Southern Lord Records. And before that, I was at SST, and before that, Priority. So I learned a lot of different, you know, from a lot of different people. And so started the label, started a distribution partnership with Sony Red.
Yeah. That's pretty diverse. Is that correct? Or is that just kind of the norm, you know, to go from Priority, who, you know, is hip-hop, you know, throughout the night. Priority Records was hip-hop.
I was there in the 90s when they had bulletproof glass in front of the reception.
I heard some stories.
Yeah. So it was definitely the height of the excess of the music industry and the breakthrough of gangster rap. And not only the breakthrough, but the movement, because it was a movement.
Yeah.
You know, that was happening. That's why it was so huge.
Yeah, I mean, it affected all walks of life. I mean,
it crossed over, right?
Yeah. I mean, you saw businessmen wearing baggies.
Yeah, and I mean, and hey, let's be honest. Everyone working there was a businessman and was packaging the next thing to sell.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know?
But to go that, SST, and Century Media, I mean...
Yeah. You know, I learned how people did different things, whether it was the actual strategic way to manufacture, meaning, you know, dealing with different manufacturers to get, you know, different quotes on different... you know, projects, like whether it's vinyl or CD.
Yeah.
And, you know...
The non-glamorous side of it.
Well, and, you know, direct sales, distribution management, radio, PR, all the stuff, the components to selling a record. I mean, a lot of people think because they have big distribution or they're in a certain type of framework or template, they think, hey, I'm going to sell a lot of records. Well, it's the distributor's job to get the record on the shelf, but it's the artist and the label's job to create the demand.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? Through PR, mm-hmm. right? Reviews,
mm-hmm.
Radio, whether it's internet, college, or commercial, live shows.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of steps to get the right, that little unit sold.
But between that and your you promoted actual shows yourself.
Yeah, right? I've been a show promoter. I retired from that officially. I did it for about a decade.
Uh-huh.
And I did it because, you know, I was passionate about my band. It's Casual, mm-hmm. and I still am. The landscape out there in Los Angeles for show promoters, you know, it's pretty hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of unfair practices with the pay-to-play.
Sure, yeah.
And we've all heard the horror stories. But you know what? Everyone knows it going into it, so it's not unfair. I mean, you don't have to do it. So if you do it, don't complain. But for me... I said, you know what? I'm going to put myself in the driver's seat, and I'm going to determine my own destiny when it comes to playing shows.
Yeah.
So that's how I started doing it. And then, you know, immediately after, you know, people started coming to me for gigs. And before I knew it, I was throwing shows Thursday through Sunday in Thai Town from 2007 to 2011.
Was it just something you just figured you'd start, you know, just doing a little bit on the side and devoting like only, you know, a little bit of time to, and then it just turned into like this full-time job?
Or? Yeah, well, you know, it was really convenient as well, because at the time I was working at a record label down the street, and I would just, you know, Thursday and Friday, I'd just walk over to the club literally 5 minutes away and work my show. So it was convenient. You know, for me, I was proud of the fact that I was providing a fair platform for people. Mm-hmm. There's no pay to play. If you brought people, you got paid a cut at the door. Everything was fair. Yeah. And for LA, in the heart of Los Angeles and Hollywood, that's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. It was ran like a basement underground DIY space. But, you know, right off Hollywood and
West. This was the relaxed bar.
The relaxed bar.
Yeah.
And no one was discriminated upon. All genres were welcome. But my focus really was heavier edge music, like hardcore, metal, all the subgenres.
What would you say are some of the highlights as far as... Let me be more specific. Like, who did you get to work with there that maybe I wouldn't have known at the time, and they turned out to be a big diamond?
Well, you know? I did a show with a thrash band called Municipal Waste from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And
they're huge.
Yeah, they're huge now. Mm-hmm. And that's my footage is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And the place is just packed, and you know, it was amazing because there were so many people in there. I mean, I had no idea a space that small could hold that many people. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of the money I paid him out for the show for a space that small.
Yeah.
Because my overhead was low, you know, and it was just a really good situation for everyone involved. I mean, the year after, they came and played the Fonda, which is a way bigger venue. So, you know, I was definitely ahead of the curve on some of the bands I was booking. Another big one that's also on YouTube, if you punch in Relax Bar Municipal Waste, you'll see the footage. Or if you punch in Relax Bar Unholy Grave, this is a band from Japan. A really, you know...
I don't know them.
Well-respected hardcore crust band. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, a thing. It was the same situation as, you know, Municipal Waste.
Yeah.
Just, you know, 6 months later, they came back and, you know, more eyes were on them, that kind of thing. Yeah, awesome. Good stuff. Yeah.
And you made a good professional contact for a few years to come. You know? And that probably assists you in your present day, right?
Well, you know, it's just a nice feather to have under your cap because you understand the game. When you're actually a talent buyer for the Relax Bar, whether your room holds 100 people or 500 people like the Troubadour, and you're dealing with agents and they're selling you a show because that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with the paperwork and you learn the template of how to put a show on and how to, you know, get everyone paid on the back end as well. You know, there's a strategy to it. You got to be coherent. You know, you can't just piss in the wind.
Well, I imagine all these endeavors are not really something that just anybody could walk in. Obviously, you got people skills. Obviously, you know, people, you got to follow through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, on the simple things.
And people have to, you know, you have to garner some loyalty out of these people. Because let's face it, and we're talking about musicians here.
Right.
And we're talking about mostly, like you said, mostly on the harder edge, which, you know, doubles the flake factor, I would, you know.
Absolutely.
Let's be real. And so, I mean, it's, if you're able to, like, farm out some sort of loyalty and have something about yourself that makes people want to come through for you, then, you know, not everybody off the street would be able to turn that out.
You know, yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, whether you're booking shows at the Relax Bar in Thai Town, the place holds 150 people, or if you're selling vacuum cleaners door to door, at the end of the day, you have to just get people to believe in you, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, you're selling yourself.
That's it.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And so I imagine, like, with all those feathers in your cap, you know, working on Stoked Records, you know,
I'm excited.
Now that's going to really help you out.
Yeah. I'm excited because I roll out of bed and I'm working for myself and I'm doing the same thing I've been doing for 20 years for other people, and I'm just doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And it's a good feeling. But also, the flip side of that is things have to get done.
Yeah.
So I get up extra early.
No one left to blame. Buck stops here.
Yeah, I get up extra early. I drink extra coffee. And I just go to it. 6 a.m., I'm on the phone with the East Coast.
And you're happy.
I'm a very happy man. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Thanks.
Hey, we're going to come back in a little bit. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about your specific story growing
up
and whatnot.
Thank you.
Hey, you want to hear a little bit more tunes, though?
Sure. What do you got?
Let me see. I got There's a Ride Going On by Monophonics, a great Bay Area sort of psychedelic hard funk soul band. They are scheduled to come in on the show next week, but we'll see how that works out. Anyway, they're playing the Mint this Friday, the 13th. Cool. Monophonics.
Okay. another man. It's there when you speak my name. It's just not the same. A reflection of a face I see. I'm a hurt, downhearted, and worried girl. Cause that face doesn't belong to me. Oh, it's all over your face. Someone taking my place. Ooh, ooh, baby, I'm losing you. You try hard to hide the emptiness inside.
I know I'm losing you. Up next is Sean Lee, Too Tired to Sleep. He's playing the Apokini Festival, September 29th. This is called Too Tired to Sleep. It's featuring LA's own Fanny Franklin.
I've been loving you for so long. I don't know if it's right or wrong. You've been creeping around my back stairs.
That's out on the Ubiquity label. from the record called Soul in the Hole, 2009, Too Tired to Sleep, featuring Fanny Franklin from Los Angeles. She, Fanny Franklin, you know her work. She's got a great body of soul work, solo work, excuse me, and she plays with Orgone and a couple other projects. She's a great talent, Fanny Franklin. She's on a prior show. But let's talk a little bit more about Eddie. What's going on? So you're born in East L.A.
I was born in East L.A. No, for reals. You know, just like the song. At East Los Angeles Community Hospital. 1975.
And what was your home life like? Like, was it pretty, you know, were you pretty supportive as far as, like, any kind of creative endeavors that you wanted to do?
Absolutely. Home life was, you know, a mother and father that came from being heavily influenced by heavy music. And
like what?
Black Sabbath.
Okay.
Led Zeppelin.
All right.
The Who. Yeah. I remember clear as day, you know, being young and my dad is, you know, carrying me on his shoulder and listening to the first Black Sabbath record in vinyl and him pulling the, you know, the old Kenwood stereo systems with the big speakers with the speaker cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Him, you know, taking them off and I would want to feel the speakers.
Yeah, one of the old school audiophiles, you know, and they had all this weird gear that,
yeah,
you know.
And I was always amazed by, you know, when the lights were dim in the house and there was music going, the tuners had like that aqua blue digital.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just like little things like that. And then the metallic hardware.
Yeah. How many people, you know, because I could think of three times where for some reason a bug would crawl in to the receiver. And get trapped in the little display, that little dial. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that? Why have I seen that more than once in my life?
Maybe it's symbolic or something.
I think maybe it's just something about maybe the tubes are warm there and they come finding looking for something.
It's like a bug light.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Literally. But that was home life. I mean, music constantly played. You know, my parents, siblings coming over and they all like played instruments and it was very like, you know, on a local level, but it was always like, you know, your uncles with long hair come in and, oh, wow. They're
so
cool.
You got a big family?
I do.
And you did that whole bit with like barbecues and all that stuff?
It was, you know, it wasn't the backyard boogie. It was a front yard boogie.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means barbecues, you know, everyone talks about the backyard boogie, you know, okay. your parties, your family parties.
Uh-huh.
It was like, you know, everything would get so upbeat and so big, like you would do it in the backyard and front yard simultaneous in the neighborhood.
Okay. Oh, I got you.
You know,
okay.
Playing music.
Overflow, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what neighborhood is specifically are we talking about? Like during this time?
Well, at this point, this is probably El Sereno and Whittier.
Okay.
You know.
And what are we talking about food-wise? Because let's just get down to brass tacks.
It's carne asada, you know, grilled over an open flame.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken and, you know, everyone making tacos out of them and all that good stuff.
You okay on the barbecue? You do okay yourself?
Actually, I haven't done it in a while, but I do pretty well.
What's your specialties?
I would say beer marinated burgers.
Okay. Well, we don't have all night, but let's give a quick synopsis of a beer marinated burger. You mean you just throw the patty on and like throw a beer on there? Or is there something special going on there?
Well, it's case by case basis. It's like, you know, whatever you're dealing with.
Or are you being specifically aloof about it because you got a secret?
No, I'm very transparent.
I like. As far as a recipe, I mean.
Well, a recipe, it's about like black and tan in a bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Bass Ale and Newcastle,
mm-hmm.
or Guinness, and just, you know, make hand patties.
Uh-huh.
Best grade stuff, though.
Yeah.
And just do like a quick dip.
Yeah, you don't want to cheap out on it.
Yeah, you know, just a quick dip in the beer before you put on the grill.
Awesome. Yeah. And so where are you at now? Where do you call home?
Good old Boyle Heights.
Okay.
First East Side city over the bridge.
Okay. What's your address? I'm just kidding.
666 Whittier Boulevard.
And you pretty friendly in the neighborhood. Like that's important to me, is to have like a walking neighborhood, you know, to be a part. I want to be a part of my neighborhood. You know what I mean?
You know what? Let's just say that, you know, when I walk out my front gate, I go to the taco stand on hot summer nights and hang, you know, to my left would be a member of the local gang White Fence.
Yeah.
And we'd be talking about basketball because we're basketball fans. And usually one of the guys, you know, that are not, you know, don't speak English as well. A term used in Los Angeles is Baisa or something like that. And, you know, that my neighbor Superman. Mm-hmm. He told me to call him Superman. So I got White Fence to my left and Superman to my right. So I'm in with the locals.
Yeah, I gotcha. You're a part of the neighborhood, yeah.
I'm a part of the neighborhood.
And have you ever heard of Paisa Taxi?
No.
Well, this is in rumor status, but I guess it's this small little network, you know, of dudes who, like, you call for a ride, and this is sort of a underground taxi service. And kind of the thing about it is, like, you have, basically, if you call and you're not speaking Spanish, like, authentic Spanish, like, they're just going to hang up on you.
Right. Well, when you stand at the bus stops in downtown in Hollywood, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you see, like, just like a Crown Vic, like a cop car or a taxi car, like maybe usually like a black or blue. They just pull up and ask you if you want a ride. Yeah. So they're trying to, you know, infiltrate the bus, the MTA's business, and the other cabs.
En Español?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. What do you think about the... Now, you're a big advocate for public transportation. What's your take on the whole new ride-sharing thing going on with, like, Lyft, Uber, Sidecar? Are you familiar with all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I think that right there is actually going to give the cabs, the taxi cabs, competition.
Yeah. Well, it already is. I mean, that's why LA is kind of trying to throw anything they can at them. It's state sanctioned, but not locally. I mean, they can operate locally, but it's LA because LA is the one feeling it, you know, as far as.
Sure.
Anytime you get an old system, we're talking about unions and things like that. You know, there's a lot of, let's face it, there's a lot of hands in that pie. A
lot of politics.
So yeah, you're going to piss off a couple people who have their hands in that pie. They're going to write up some cease and desist orders if they can.
Absolutely.
What do you think it's, do you think it's helpful?
I do. And I do know from talking to Jose Ubaldo over at the MTA, one of the media spokesperson, you know, part of what they're trying to do too is, you know, finish the whole 405 project. And actually, once the labor is done on that, they're going to put a lot of their energy into focusing on the marketing of ride sharing to get cut cars down.
Yeah.
You know,
I like this. It's just a better system. And so
absolutely.
I like free enterprise, you know, and I hope no bad incidents happen that leave a sour taste in people's mouth, you know what I mean? But it's bound to come up at some point. It's just a law. It's just, it's a numbers game. Eventually, you know, somebody's going to get hurt or something bad's going to happen and it's going to get...
Yeah.
It's going to put a big black smudge on a good system, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so you still, like I mentioned, you're a big public transportation advocate. So it's just pretty much an everyday thing for you?
It is.
Yeah, the MTA.
It is. I get on at least once.
And do you remember the Rick, Tom, and Daryl, Rough, Tough, and Dirty, the RTD?
Well, I do. I remember they wouldn't run as frequent as the MTA.
Yeah.
And back then, right? I mean, it's definitely an LA thing. On a Sunday, you know, the times table is cut in half. So if you missed one bus, you have to wait like another hour.
No, the RTD sucked.
It sucked so bad.
It's you missed a bus. Well, first of all, you it might not even have been you missed a bus. It just they didn't show, and that means your next bus
is 1 hour.
It's packed.
Yeah,
you know, that fucking number 33 Venice Boulevard, man. That it was packed.
And you're getting tired because you're standing there.
Yeah.
And then when you get on, you're just like, are you kidding me? Everyone's holding on.
Yeah, I would skateboard. I live 5 miles from the beach. I would just skate it every day. You know?
Right.
And
so you would skate the Venice Wall and everything? The pavilion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was down there. I was a little boardwalk rat for a
while. That was legendary. Yeah.
And then I skated back. I lived right by Venice Heights. So I skated back from Palisades one time. It was just, and I would have gladly taken a bus. The rough, you know, the RTD. But... Well, first of all, I never really had any money, but I mean, you know, even if they ran well, you know, I mean, I don't. Who wants to skate that much in one trip? You know, not
right.
me anyway. But yeah, it was just unreliable. So the MTA is so monumentally more successful in every way, shape, or form than the RTD.
And right now, they're working on a campaign in September. It's called Rail Safety Month throughout California, and
we got about 10 to 15 seconds. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Basically, accidents happen when people are on the platform running after a train, but they don't have to because they come every 6 minutes.
Yeah.
That is part of the monumentally, you know, put together yeah. infrastructure. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't even need a schedule.
Who do we have to thank for that, by the way?
I would say Villaraigosa.
Okay.
Because he's the one that brought LA's mojo back with when it comes to public transportation. Mm. We could go into that later, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of Lowrider set for you since we brought up Whittier.
All right.
A little bit earlier. We got, of course, there's the Great War theme from Ghetto Man called Nappy Head mm-hmm. from the All Day Music record. I think that was... I don't remember. Mid to late 70s. I don't remember exactly. But anyway, loved ones, this is Neighborhood Love Radio. Please enjoy.
one of these days, and it won't be long. Gonna drive back down where you once belonged, in the back of a dream car 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sweet, don't break my heart. Doing all right, but we gotta get smart. Wish upon day upon day. I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby lost, that's all. Once I'm begging you, save a little soul.
Golden years, come on.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel, come on, baby. Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll sit with you, baby, for a thousand years. Let me touch you in these golden years.
Golden years,
Billy Stewart, pretty much my favorite R&B singer of all time. Sitting in the Park, prior to that, we heard the great David Bowie, Golden Years. That was a Lowrider tune.
It was.
Didn't notice it. Golden Years. And prior to that, of course, we heard Nappy Head from War.
Good choice.
Thank you. Eddie, thanks so much. As always, man, there's not enough time. You know, I know. I wish I had a two-hour show like you do. The show that I'm talking about, Eddie's show, Los Angeles Nista, is, you can find that right here at skidrowstudios.com. And always great guests. Always great guests. Like, sometimes multiple guests. And you get a lot, you get a lot covered, man. I like your show.
Thank you.
And when I'm sort of qualifying Skid Row Studios to people, your show inevitably comes up as the qualification. Like it's a high point of the studio. So I'm really glad you came in to sit and hang out.
Well, I'm just really excited to be a part of the Skid Row family. And thanks to Jeremy for letting me do it. And thank you for inviting me on your show tonight.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to know a little bit more what we're talking about, like Eddie's show or some of the other shows here, like the Healing Hour or the Very Manic Jimmy Cab show, you can find skidrowstudios.com. But also there's an app. If you go to the iTunes App Store and just search Skid Row Studios, or if you Android loved ones, you can find it at stitcher.com. And again, just search Skid Row Studios. Coming up on neighborhoodlove.com is an interview with I from the SH crew, one of the old time guys, one of the veteran graffiti guys. And he's also the founder of Los Angeles Graffiti Mag Lost. Upcoming interview this week. I'm looking forward to that. And that's at neighborhood-love.com. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. This is Neighborhood Love Radio. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe. Okay.
Hey, this is Eddie Solis, producer and host of Los Angeles Nista. Make sure you listen to the show live every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at skidrowstudios.com. And make sure you download the Skid Row Studios app or your iPhone.
Hello, I'm Julianne Good, the host of Psych One-on-One, live on Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every week, I talk with psychology experts as we explore the issues that matter to you. Anything from reducing anxiety to getting better Z's at night. Call in at 800-893-9562 to ask us questions and give us your opinions. We'd love you to join us. We're here to make psychology understandable and give you the information you need to make your life better. And if you can't listen live, our shows are also archived and available for downloading from iTunes, and we're at www.skidrowstudios.com. Join us, please.